Gene Burns is off tonight. He'll be live from Carmel by the Sea tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. on Dining Around. Check it out. I'm Peter B. Collins. Delighted to be sitting in for Gene this evening. And this hour is a real pleasure and an honor for me because we are going to pay tribute to one of the great political reporters who graced San Francisco television for more than 30 years. Rollin Post passed away on October 3rd after a lengthy battle with Alzheimer's. And his longtime partner and a woman who was mentored by Raleigh Post joins me in the studio this hour, Belva Davis from KQED Channel 9. Belva, good evening.
Good evening, Peter. Good to be with you.
What are your feelings? I know you had a lot of love for Raleigh, and you spent many years working together with him.
I think anybody who grieves a deep loss, even if the person has had Alzheimer's, there are always, every now and then, moments when you can connect, and you know they're still there with you. So realizing that is not at all possible has been very difficult for me, because without asking, Rollin took me on as a partner and then as a peer. And to work with somebody for, you know, over 30 years and never have an argument, really, is really a blessing.
So you started together at KPIX.
He was there before.
Mm-hmm.
When I arrived there, our world of media was undergoing change.
Mm-hmm.
The Civil Rights Act had just been passed in 64. And I got hired at the end of 66, so there were only a couple of full-time reporters when I arrived there. And in fact, I think the staff ended up being like four reporters.
Bill Hillman?
Bill actually was a booth announcer then.
Oh,
he was
really?
The voice of the station.
Uh-huh.
And it was Rollin Post and a guy named Pat O'Brien and mm-hmm. Ben Williams.
Oh, yeah,
and
Ben.
Then they added me.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Wanda Ramey was on at noon.
Yeah.
And Nancy Clark Reynolds Clark, was a 6 o'clock anchor with John Weston.
Wow.
So those are, you'd have to be pretty old to know those names now.
Mm-hmm. Well, this hour we're going to hear from some people who were on the receiving end of Rollin Post's reporting work and some of his colleagues in the media. Let's do a quick recap. He was born in New York City. His father was a New York State Assemblyman in the era of Franklin Roosevelt. His mother was a fashion model, a civic volunteer, and his maternal grandfather was the very first recipient of the Pulitzer Prize for editorial cartooning. So there's a rich tradition of both politics and media in Rollin Post's DNA.
And he was very proud of it, extremely proud of it. And I think that's probably what motivated him to always stay at the top of the heap. In terms of his ethical standings, in terms of his knowledge, in terms of knowing the right people, and building trust. I don't know that Rollin ever lost the trust of anyone that he wanted
mm-hmm.
to befriend, because he was, you could always learn from him. Politicians soon found that to be beneficial, too. Nice chat with Rollo was always good when you're setting your agenda.
Yeah. So he started out in Los Angeles at a television station there, and he came to San Francisco in 1961. And one of the real changes or shifts was during the newspaper strike in the early 1970s. Talk about that and how KQED responded to the strike.
KQED, then we had this Fable newsroom program, or news, the newspaper on the air.
Mm-hmm.
The Chronicle reporters all came over, formed this great nifty group. The Ford Foundation provided the money, and they set all kinds of high standards and records in terms of really covering in depth the news in a broadcast setting by just sitting and talking to the
mm-hmm.
viewers.
I remember it was still on the air. I arrived here in 1976 from Chicago, and it was something I was drawn to because, I respect local television news, but in the Van Amberg era of dead dogs on railroad tracks and things even more graphic than that,
mm-hmm.
I was turned off by the commercial television news. I do make an exception for Channel 2, which during that period really showed itself to be a center of journalism that happened to be on television, and I do give them credit for that. But the newsroom at Channel 9 was really a respectable source for thoughtful news, not just the, you know, something driven by pictures.
Yes, it was a group of very smart people, and I hope that Linda Scheck or Bill Seckner, who are on, part of that team, will be able to talk to us about it tonight. But these were people who challenged one another right on the air live, unrehearsed. If you were given a story, you'd better be prepared to answer the questions of your fellow reporters on the roundtable. People took great pride in being prepared for that. And Roland never had any trouble with that at all.
We're talking with Belva Davis here on KGO, a tribute to her colleague, Roland Post. And if you have a comment, you're a viewer who enjoyed his work over the years, we'd be happy to hear from you at 808-0810-808-0810. So then from KQED, well, tell me the sequence there. Roland went to KRON, the Chronicle-owned Channel 4 at that time, and you came over at some point.
I came over pretty quickly.
Usually
it was a matter of months. And I just said, by the grace of, you know, these employers at these other stations hired me, because I started with him at KPIX. Then he went to KQED. And, of course, then I came over to KQED. And then he left KQED and went to KRON. And then I came to KRON. And mm-hmm. that's where, you know, he retired in 1999, just you know, after just many wonderful years. And we hosted a program called California This Week mm-hmm. for 18 years together.
Wow.
And it was a political talk show for which there was not a politician who would turn Rollo's call down.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more than anything else, he was also had hooked himself to at that time, young black woman, unheard of in political coverage, who was trying to make a way in a field where there weren't that many women in the first place, but certainly not a woman of color. And I think he was surprised at the barriers that I ran into. Mm. Never made a fuss of it. Whenever I ran into a problem, sometimes those things would just disappear. And I soon began to realize it must have been a phone call from the right person. And generally it was a staff person. Mm-hmm. Who'd never heard of me, didn't want to give me access to whomever the politician was.
Really?
Yes. And that went on for a long time. It was most prevalent at national conventions mm-hmm. to get access where mm-hmm. there's a great demand. And we would we covered a few of them in New York and San Diego here.
The Atlanta 84
and so
convention
forth.
Here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we, you know, had the burden of never having the budget of the big guys, mm-hmm. but needing the big guys on our show. And the people would extend themselves for Roland like you wouldn't believe. I remember one year in New York, we had to set up in a hotel room, mm-hmm. and we had to get the politicians out of Madison Square Garden, down the road to the hotel to do their interviews with us, and they cooperated.
Wow. Very interesting. Yeah. Belva Davis with us. We're reminiscing about the life and times and the contributions to local media by Roland Post. If you have a comment, we'd like to hear from you at 808-0810-808-0810. The Gene Burns program on KGO this evening. We're paying tribute to the late Roland Post, a political reporter on Bay Area television for more than 30 years. Joining us now on KGO is Senator Dianne Feinstein. Senator, welcome to the program this evening.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here, Peter. And hi, Belva.
Senator, you go all the way back to your days as a San Francisco supervisor, maybe even before, with Roland Post. Tell us some of your favorite anecdotes about Mr. Post.
Well, I don't know that there's a particular anecdote. What there is a real sense of respect for him. I knew him for a very long time, particularly when he was at KRON-TV. And I can tell you what I thought of him. I had enormous respect. He was always a straight shooter. He had a sense of humor. Some of the humor I didn't particularly like, but that didn't matter. And he and his wife, Diane, were the golden couple. You know, essentially two blondes and tall, statuesque. He worked very hard. He took nothing for granted. Roland was kind of always there when news was breaking, and I particularly found that so when I was mayor. If I'd go to a fire, a three alarm or above, he was there. At critical meetings around City Hall, he was there. So he also was a worker. And I think he took nothing for granted. He essentially wanted to really verify for himself that facts were facts and there weren't distortions. So I think the news media was very lucky to have a man like Roland Post.
Indeed, Senator. And when you think about how the media has changed over the years, Roland Post, to me, represented standards and an approach where it wasn't a gotcha kind of thing. He was looking for information. He was looking for what people needed to know, not simply trying to generate a headline or a one-day story at the expense of a public official.
Well, I think that's right, Peter. And what he was a straight reporter. He wasn't looking for an angle. He wasn't asking you a question that he could build a story around because he could tweak the story this way or that way. And I really appreciate that. You know, when you're in, well, when you do what I do over a long period of time, reporters come and ask you a question. And they essentially, I think, by and large, are looking for the salty, controversial answer. And if the answer is that, it will find its way into whatever it is they're reporting. If it isn't, if the answer is just straightforward and factual, a lot of time it's left out.
Senator Feinstein, the other thing I have to assume is that you and Roland Post shared a deep love for the city of San Francisco. How did that surface or show itself?
Well, that's right. Of course, I'm a native. I was born here. I don't think the Posts were. As I understood it, they moved to San Francisco in 1961 and then bought a house in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived in Green Bay for, I see here, 47 years.
Right.
But, you know, he was a great husband. He was a great father, had three children, had five grandchildren, baseball fan, which sort of comes with being a San Franciscan, although he shared it with the A's. You know, some San Franciscans only see Giant Town, and I'm sort of one of them.
Well, Senator, thank you for sharing your thoughts and recollections about Raleigh Post with us this evening.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for asking me. And hi, Belva, again. Bye-bye.
That's Senator Feinstein, who I talked with earlier today, and she sends her best, Belva Davis. Talk a little bit about Roland Post's sense of humor, because clearly Senator Feinstein identified it but didn't always laugh.
Absolutely. I can tell you there was one particular show where we were interviewing her, and we were being pretty hard on her. And it usually, you know, both of us tried to be as gracious as possible at the end. And she turned and she says, "That's all right. I had to somehow make lemonade out of this lemon."
Belva Davis with us here as we celebrate the life of Roland Post. I have a statement from Nancy Pelosi, the House leader and San Francisco Congresswoman. We'll get to that as we continue here on KGO. I'm Peter B. Collins on the Gene Burns program. Belva Davis with me in the studio. We're honoring the life of Roland Post. And I have a statement from the Democratic leader of the House, former Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She says, "Roland Post was a portrait of persistence, honesty, passion, and strength in his life, in his work as a reporter and commentator, in his love of politics and family. For more than four decades, working behind the scenes for L.A. Area News Radio and reporting on air in San Francisco, Raleigh set the standard for excellence in political journalism. In asking tough questions and always seeking the truth, he did our city, state, and nation a great service. Raleigh brought the news to the public. He translated current events into terms all viewers and listeners could understand and appreciate. In the spirit of the best in journalism, he never failed to keep the Bay Area informed about politics and government. He was original and widely beloved, and his voice will be sorely missed." That's from Nancy Pelosi. Belva, you want to add a comment there?
Well, you know, Nancy Pelosi was, Roland liked her an awful lot. And we really, during the 84 convention here, misinterpreted her interests. We had her on the program to talk about, we were talking about the convention. Mm-hmm. Little did we realize that she was going to go on to be the dynamite person that she ended up in politics.
Right.
We thought of her as the person arranging the parties. That was one of the few times that Nancy's been on the program and set Rollin and me straight. Mm-hmm. And she was a much more serious person.
Well, one time in the 90s, I referred to Nancy Pelosi as, I said that I used to think of you as a dilettante. And oh, did I take some grief for
you
that?
You betcha.
KGO News Talk 810, the Gene Burns Program. I'm Peter B. Collins sitting in tonight, and we're paying our respects to the late Rollin Post, the TV political reporter, first at KPIX, then at KQED, and in his final years at KRON. And his longtime partner, Belva Davis, is with us in the studio. Joining us now is Jerry Roberts. For many years, he was the political editor of the San Francisco Chronicle, went on to become the big-time editor, the editor-in-chief of the Santa Barbara paper, and is now the co-founder of CalBuzz, which is a great online political news service covering California. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you doing, Peter? Hi, Belva.
Hello there, Jerry.
Good to have you on with us. Tell us your reflections on Rollin Post.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things that come to mind right away. I think one of the strangest political events I ever covered was in the 1988 presidential race, and I was in Iowa and went out to this small town in western Iowa where Pat Robertson, the TV preacher, was campaigning that year and did very well, actually, because of the evangelical vote. But anyway, they had set up a boxing match between Robertson and this local Golden Gloves champ, and they had a big hall, and they'd set up this boxing ring with all kinds of flags and stuff, and so Robertson was going to box this actual boxer, and I looked, and Rollin was there. I didn't even know he was in the state, and I don't know, there were 8 or 10 other guys from the national press, so they start this fight, and it was completely fraudulent that Robertson takes a swing at this guy, and he goes down, and all the rest of the press is kind of look at this and scratching my head, and I looked over, and Rollin was just roaring with laughter. He just thought it was the funniest thing ever. I didn't get to see his report, but it was so, it was so typical of him because he never kind of went along with whatever artifice was going on in politics. He just was so out front about what he thought. If somebody was lying or prevaricating, he would call them on it. And in this case, you know, this obviously phony event, he just gave it what it was. And that was, I think, probably the funniest thing I remember. And, another thing was when I first started out on the beat in 1980, I think I was like the third string political reporter for the Chronicle or something. And Ted Kennedy came to town to San Francisco. And that was the year, of course, he was challenging President Carter. And I went over to cover this news conference at the Fairmont Hotel. And, I was really nervous because I was kind of new to this and everything, and Rollin was there. And he was obviously the man in San Francisco, and he always was when political candidates and campaigns came to town. And he kind of dominated the news conference with his questions, which were all very good. And then I saw afterwards he was packing up, and he had an interview with Kennedy in one of the smaller rooms there. And he was the only guy who had gotten a one-on-one,
oh,
of course.
Yeah.
And he did the nicest thing. You know, we had just met, and I barely knew him at that point. And he invited me to come into his interview so I could write about it for the Chronicle. And it was just, you know, the most generous thing and this mentoring thing. And he was always, you know, supportive of other reporters. And you know, he was competitive, and he had the scoop mentality, but he was also willing to share in the sense that I think he really did see reporters as the eyes and ears of people, and that he was part of the press corps, and that it was a collaborative and collegial effort that was going on.
Jerry, wasn't that a pivotal interview, though, with Kennedy in terms of his run for the presidency?
Yeah, it was. It was a very important point, and I think that Kennedy was still kind of playing coy, if my recollection is correct on that, and Rollin really drew him out. I mean, he asked the questions that everybody wanted to know, and he did make news with that interview.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, thanks for sharing that, and I feel the same way. I didn't cover politics per se. I was always in a radio booth, But Rollin Post came on my radio programs many times and offered very cogent analysis. And also, he always had something. He knew about the news thing, and he would always make a little news, even in a role as an analyst or a commentator on a radio show with me. And I always thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, he did have a great news sense. And the other thing, you know, I mean, the partnership between Belva and Rollin was really extraordinary. I mean, they, you know, at times, forgive me, Belva, but they were kind of like an old married couple.
and maybe an odd couple, huh?
And they had a show, California This Week, which we used to tape on Friday mornings, and it would air on Sunday. And I just remember going to the studio, and the two of them were always, well, I'm not going to ask that. Well, when you ask that? And Belva would always say, well, Rollin, I don't know anything about this, so you're really going to have to carry this interview. And then, of course, she was always great. But the chemistry between them was so good. And, you know, they kind of did a little good cop, bad cop kind of thing. But it was really a great, great partnership, and it was so much fun and so really educational for me to be able to be on the same show and in the same studio with them.
Jerry Roberts, thank you very much for joining us tonight. And again, I want people to read your work at CalBuzz. You're doing a great job there with Phil Trounstein and your crew at CalBuzz.com.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Okay, you bet.
Thanks, Jerry.
Jerry Roberts, former political editor at The Chronicle. We'll continue in a moment as we pay our respects to Rollin Post this evening. Belva Davis in the studio with me, Peter B. Collins, on KGO. KGO News Talk 810. It's 9:46 on this Friday evening on the Gene Burns program. I'm Peter B. Collins, and with Belva Davis, we're celebrating the life and the work of Rollin Post. Joining us now is Don Solem, who is a longtime public affairs consultant here in San Francisco. And he goes back in politics to when George Moscone was in the legislature. That's as far back as I know about your bio, Don.
Yeah. Well, that's a ways, Peter.
Yeah,
good
it sure is.
To be on with you and Belva and to listen to the other comments. I actually met Rollin in 1969 when I became executive director of the Democratic Party on a statewide basis. But I had been around in local politics listening to his reporting. And, I mean, he was, you know, just on a pedestal for all us small-timers and mm-hmm. young people.
And, Don, did you ever have problems where Rollin wanted to report things that you didn't want him to report?
No, interestingly not. In some respects, you've covered that point that he was a little loftier than the gutter gossip that is so prevalent in politics today, particularly in national reporting, frankly, the Drudge mm-hmm. Report and the like.
Yeah, somehow Rollin wouldn't have reported on tweets, do you think?
I don't think so. I don't know that his thumbs moved quite that fast, for one thing. But he was high-minded, but as Belva noted particularly, and Jerry noted, he had a yen for the story, but not for embarrassing people about a story, drawing it out so a listener understood very clearly what was at stake, what were the facts, what were the arguments, what was relevant. He really could make that very crystal clear, and that's why he was admired so much and got such access to people on the various shows. You know, I thought of Belva as having Rollin posted as an advanced scout to bring her to another station, and I'm sure he looked at it that way, too.
Was he your agent? Did he ever get a commission?
He never got anything but more grief. I don't know whether he, you know, I didn't even check to see if he really wanted me to do that. I mean, I did not consult to say, I'm going to follow you if you leave here. It was just a natural thing for me because we work so well together.
Yeah.
And, you know, we both had our parts. I mean, sometimes I'd want the show to be a little bit more edgy than he was willing to go along. And, you know, he would just be sitting there looking kind of quietly, and then he'd say, you want to ask that? You can ask it. And I thought, uh-oh, I don't know whether I have my facts right or maybe I've drifted a little too far.
Now, Don Solem, you and Rollin Post shared a passion for baseball, and I understand that you made many sojourns to spring training in Arizona.
Oh, to go see the gods of baseball in the youth of spring. Yes, we did. We had a small band of us, Jack Knox, a former assemblyman, sure. Save the Bay fame, was part of that. The British Consul General was part of that. And Rollin and I were part of that. And the only thing that kept us all alive was my wife shepherding us around and keeping us from going over the edge. But we had great times beginning in the late 80s. I think we went to see Roger Angel as a group, and ran into Bill King and a whole group of sports writers, many of whom Roland knew, but I didn't know. And they were our gateway to lots and lots of good times in Scottsdale and in Phoenix.
And did you have your own booth there at the Pink Lady?
Pink Pony.
Pink Pony, that's
well,
what it is.
Well, we sort of did. We inherited, things were quieter down there then, and had been quieter until Ron Fimright, the late, great Ron Fimright, former Chronicle sports writer and columnist, Bay Area guy, Cal guy, and so on, whom Roland knew quite well, reported on spring training in Arizona for Sports Illustrated, then a relatively new publication, and that opened the doors to people wanting to come to particularly to the Pink Pony, so he had the booth that we sat in. And one of those first times, Ron said to us, "Will you take over the booth for me? I'm going to interview the White Rat." Well, the White Rat turned out to be Whitey Herzog, a well-known now Hall of Fame member. And the cowboy. The cowboy, he thought we knew. He said, "Who's the cowboy?" Gene Autry.
Oh, Gene Autry.
The Angels. And Herzog and Autry were teaming up, so Fimright went out of town, and we were kings of his table with a little Ron Fimright brass plaque on it.
Wow, and Gene Autry owned KSFO for many years, too,
when
it was at its greatest. Well, Don, thank you for sharing your recollections with us this evening.
A great, well-rounded man, a really great, fine, interested in everything, kind to people, humble for all of his lofty skills and so on. Well, we really miss people like that. There aren't that many.
Indeed.
When you get down to it.
Don
Thanks,
Solder.
Peter, for saluting him.
You bet. Good to talk with you. We'll continue in a moment with Belva Davis, and we'll see who else joins us here on KGO. KGO News Talk 810. Final few minutes of the Gene Burns program. I'm Peter B. Belva Davis in the studio with us, and we are paying tribute to Roland Post for more than 30 years, a great political reporter at Channel 5, then Channel 9, and then finally at Channel 4. And Lauren Post, his daughter, is on the line with us now. Lauren, welcome, and I hope you and your family appreciate the love and respect that has been expressed for your dad from many people this hour.
We deeply do, Peter, and thank you so much to you for hosting this wonderful program. And Belva, as you know, my father considered you his very best friend for many, many years, not just a respected colleague, but just a personal friend that he could talk to about so many things, government, family, the city, you name it. So thank you both for a wonderful hour. I also, of course, I have to thank Senator Feinstein. My father had great admiration for her. She had a tough life early on, but she certainly has gotten to where she is today by being honest and open herself about the political process. And then I just had to make a comment about Congresswoman Pelosi. You were laughing about when she was accused of being a dilettante. As I recall, that's when she ran against Harry Britt in her primary campaign, and he's the one that called her a dilettante. My father always considered her a very, very smart political strategist and was very supportive of her run for Congress. And as you said, Peter, look where she is today.
Indeed. But she's made fools of anyone who underestimated her, including yours truly.
But I guess one thing that rings out with all of you is my father really did believe in the political process and the importance of government. I think he'd take a very dim view today of some of the people that run for public office and haven't voted in every election, for example. He thought voting was so important, and having an informed electorate was why he stayed in journalism, because he loved politics. Along the way, every so often, someone would say, "Well, Roland, why don't you run for office? I mean, you like it so much. Why don't we send you to Washington?" He had no interest whatsoever. He loved reporting on it and letting people know what their elected officials were up to. He once wanted to go to Sacramento and interview Governor George Dukmejian, and his assignment editor, whomever it was, says, "Why do you want to do that? He's so boring." And my father said, "Well, the people have a right to know. They have a boring governor." So that was his attitude.
Well, Lauren, thank you very much for joining us, and please give our love and respect and sympathies to your family at this time.
Thank you so much, Peter.
All right, Lauren Post here. And John Rothman, my colleague, has joined us now. And John insisted that we had to discuss one element of Roland Post's career. Tell us, John.
Raleigh was an old friend, and his stepmother, Miggs and his father, who I had the privilege of knowing. But I have to say, the greatest thing is he wasn't just a news broadcaster. No, 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 no. He was a movie star. And if you take a look at the film The Candidate, starring Robert Redford, in the great debate, the MC, the moderator, who, by the way, dominates the scene in every way, was our own Raleigh Post. And he enjoyed that. I said to him, do you get residuals? He just laughed.
He must have signed it all away. Well, I'm going to have to go rent that and look at it again, because it's been several years since I've seen it. But I do have a vague recollection, and I want to get it more prominent.
Absolutely a great film, and just marvelous. And I want to say, what a wonderful hour. And whenever Belva Davis is here in studio, it lightens up all of our lives. And Belva, you and Raleigh together, what a team.
Class. That's the word that comes to mind. Class.
I had a teacher.
Well, Belva, thank you for all that you do. Thanks for joining us here tonight. And thanks for all that you did with Rollin Post over the years.
Thank you, Peter. This was a wonderful idea.